So the first one we can take is...
Number five?
It's five, you said.
Number five is here.
Five?
The chief's here.
Oh, yeah, but...
23686?
No, 24013.
24013, okay.
But also the chief is here for East Line.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, that's right. 24013.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready for a brief statement of your case?
Great, good morning.
First, I'm sorry.
I will. Yes, good morning, I'm Jennifer Miller, an attorney for Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. And with me, I'm sorry, would you like me to introduce them or wait until?
No, let's go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Officer Randy McFarland, with the Waterbury Police Department, at this time I was with Bloomfield Police Department.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I'm Detective Zach O'Brien with the Bloomfield Police Department.
Would you each spell your names, please?
Sure, my first name Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, last name McFarland, M-C-F-A-R-L-I-N-E.
And Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, O'Bright, O-apostrophe, B-R-I-G-H-T.
Thank you.
May I begin with my statement?
Yes.
Thank you. This matter presents a question of suitability. As the testimony today will reveal, in the early morning hours, the appellant was sitting in a vehicle at his residence blasting music. Based on a noise complaint, police responded and located him in the driver's seat of the vehicle. Police observed marijuana and partially consumed alcohol in the vehicle. Upon making contact with him, the officer noticed that he displayed indicia of intoxication. In addition to the drugs and alcohol, the officer observed a loaded gun on the appellant's rear passenger seat, despite the appellant indicating that he typically keeps his firearms safe in his home. Police also uncovered another firearm in an open and unsecured case in the appellant's trunk, which he indicated had been there for months since he had previously purchased it. It's important to note the appellant had his permit for less than a year at the time of this incident. The issuing authority submits that in light of this admitted pattern of unsafe storage, coupled with his alcohol and drug use while possessing a firearm inside his vehicle, the appellant is unsuitable to hold a permit at this time and requests that the board uphold its revocation. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes. My name is Lerone Lewis Jackson.
Not your name.
Oh, sorry, just, okay.
You don't have to say it, it's for your protection, but you can if you want, it's okay.
Okay, I got you.
And let me just try, this is just a time for you to very briefly explain your position, and we'll go into more detail as we go forward.
Okay, all right, I'm fine, then I'll say more detail, because it's a lot.
Okay, thank you.
May I call my first witness?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Officer McFarland, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm going to ask you a few questions, could you please state your name and title again for the record?
Officer Randy McFarland.
And you took the oath this morning, officer?
Yes.
Okay. On January 25th, 2023, where were you working?
I was working in Bloomfield, Connecticut.
And what were you doing in that job?
I was on routine patrol, midnights.
And a little before 4:30 that morning, were you dispatched to a resident on Joyce Street in Bloomfield for a noise complaint?
Yes.
And what did that complaint entail?
Complaint entailed that there was a vehicle playing loud music in the driveway.
Okay, and upon arrival at the scene, what did you observe?
As I'm driving up to it, I could hear loud music playing from several houses away.
And was the vehicle in the driveway?
Yes, it was parked and running.
And what did you do next?
Walked up to the driver's side, made contact with the appellant.
And he was the one sitting in the driver's seat of the vehicle?
Yes, he was operating the vehicle.
And what did you notice about the appellant's appearance, or what did you smell?
Well, immediately I could smell the odor of burnt marijuana, also an alcoholic beverage emanating from the vehicle. I also observed marijuana and tobacco shake on his lap, and a quarter-empty bottle of tequila sitting in the passenger seat.
And did you notice anything about his demeanor when you were interacting with him?
Yes, at first he was uncooperative, argumentative.
And did you inquire about that bottle of tequila you saw in the passenger seat?
Yes, he said that he was drinking a couple hours earlier in the day.
And what about the marijuana, did you inquire about that?
Yep. Well, initially he said that he was smoking earlier in the day, and then that he said that it was CBD and didn't have the same components as typical marijuana.
And what, if anything, did you notice in the rear passenger seat of the vehicle when you looked in the vehicle?
So when I looked into the vehicle, I saw a loaded pistol on the back passenger seat.
Okay. Was it also chambered?
Yes, it was one in the chamber.
Okay. And despite what you observed, what, if anything, did you learn from the appellant about his gun storage?
I found out he had a valid Connecticut pistol permit. He told me that he typically keeps them locked up in the house.
Okay. And did you locate anything else inside the vehicle?
Yes, during a further search of the vehicle, in the trunk, I found an AR-style rifle with a rifle magazine also in the trunk.
Okay. Was there anything inside the passenger part of the vehicle?
So outside of the pistol in the back passenger seat, in the driver door jamb, I also found another pistol along with magazines.
Okay. And so in the trunk, was there anything else in the trunk? You said there was another firearm. What was that firearm, secured or unsecured?
It was unsecured in a soft case, and along with the magazine.
Okay. And what did you learn about the gun that was located in the trunk?
He explained to me that he had purchased it at Hoffman's approximately like 4 months prior to this incident.
Okay. Did he indicate if he had been just been keeping it inside the trunk?
He did. He didn't say anything otherwise.
Okay. And so what was the appellant's demeanor like during this entire interaction?
Just while we were interacting, I could smell the odor of an alcoholic beverage emanating off of him. He was uncooperative for the most part, argumentative towards officers, and basically interfering with the investigation throughout the initial interaction.
Thank you. No further questions from me.
Sir, do you have questions for this witness?
So you said you found another gun in the door, which you did not. I only had one pistol, and you said I was argumentative, which I wasn't. I was a little flustered that I was at my own house in my own driveway getting ready to go inside with the garage up, and
you have a question for them.
So did you find another gun in my door, another pistol, as you stated?
Should be in the report. I documented everything I found in the car.
Okay. No, it's because you just stated that you found another one. So that was my question.
Okay.
If you found another
Everything's documented in the report. Whatever I found in the car is in the report. Documented as so.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions for this witness?
No. No questions.
Board questions from
you? If I may, if maybe to clear it up, reading the report, it said there was a loaded magazine in the door, not a loaded gun in the door. So
okay.
Maybe you were confused over that.
Misunderstood, yeah.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Any other questions for this witness?
Just one.
Yes.
The AR-style rifle in the trunk, was that loaded?
Yes.
Had one, it was the magazine was in
right.
and the magazine had rounds in it?
Correct.
Thank you.
Can you clarify why it's illegal for somebody to be doing this in the driveway of their own home?
Well, it's different when you're operating a vehicle under the influence, in addition to having firearms in your possession while under the influence.
Typically, people. Was he driving his vehicle, or
he was operating the vehicle. So, state of Connecticut, that still counts. If you're operating a vehicle while drinking, it still counts as DWI.
If I may, just for clarity of the law, if the vehicle is running, it is operation under Connecticut state law.
And it was running?
It was running. Yes, it was.
I have a question. What constitutes as running? My car wasn't on, so...
Is there an answer? If I just may, the criminal matter has been resolved, so I don't think we need to... I was just explaining as a legal matter what operation constitutes under Connecticut state law.
That's what
as
I'm
opposed
asking.
To sitting, if the key is in the ignition and the car is operating, the key is in the ignition.
So the key was in my pocket and the car wasn't running. So I just wanted to clarify how that was operating it.
I don't want to get into the details. The criminal matter has been resolved with regard to that legal question. I was simply stating the law as the law is established in Connecticut as far as what constitutes operation and why that would be rise to a criminal action, which I believe was Dr. Conrad's query.
Could you clarify then if there was a court case, was it determined that the car was not running at the time?
I did not handle the underlying criminal matter. I do not believe the basis for the resolution was on that, though. It was not about the question of operation.
Okay.
I don't think there was a dispute about whether it was being operated at the time. I think there were other matters that resulted in the resolution of the criminal matter.
Do you have any idea what those were?
I do, but because of the condition of the case, I would prefer not to speak on it in a public forum. It is erased, and that's his right to not discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have another witness?
I do. May I call my next witness?
Yes.
Thank you. Please state your name and title again for the record.
Detective Zachary O'Brien with the Bloomfield Police Department. I'm also a certified drug recognition expert in the state of Connecticut.
Would you affirm?
Drug recognition expert in the state of Connecticut.
Drug recognition?
Yep, drug recognition expert.
I'm just not familiar with that.
Could you please affirm you took the oath this morning?
I did.
Great. And on January 25th, 2023, where were you working?
I was working at the Bloomfield Police Department.
And in what capacity were you working at the time?
I was working as a drug recognition expert.
We'll call that a DRE for short.
A DRE.
And what type of training have you had for that position?
So to be a DRE, you do have to be a sworn law enforcement officer. And then the actual schooling is a two-week-long program that's sponsored by both the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, and it's credentialed through the International Association of Chiefs of Police. So it's a two-week schooling, and it's a very highly prestigious selection project process. For example, there's only approximately 75 DREs in the state of Connecticut that are selected to go through this training program. After the completion of the two-week program, there are field certification, what it's called, where we go off-site to a location somewhere in the country where we actually do evaluations of people that are confirmed to be under the influence of different types of drugs, and they're drug tested on the spot, where we do the evaluation on the person, and then they're confirmed based upon our call of what they're under influence of to be matched up. So to be certified in the program, you do have to have a 100% call rate to match what you're seeing in person to what they're actually testing positive for in the toxicology for that certification process. After you're initially certified, which is a minimum of those 12 evaluations, which is all instructor witness, you do have to have a minimum of 8 hours of continuing education over a period of 2 years, and then recertify every 2 years. So after this, I did recertify in December of this most recent year, and since this evaluation, I've done approximately 30 additional evaluations under my belt.
Okay. And that morning, did you make contact with the appellant?
I did.
And did you perform a drug influence evaluation on him?
Yes.
Okay. And based on that evaluation, what did you determine?
I determined that he was impaired under the influence of alcohol and cannabis.
Okay. And based on, what was that conclusion based on?
So my conclusion is based on some psychomotor indicators and also some clinical indicators. So if we look at the evaluation, the psychomotor indicators are going to be based on some of the classic SOSTs or the standardized field sobriety tests that we see officers perform in the field. As part of the drug influence evaluation, we do repeat those as part of our 12-step process. So that includes the walk and turn test, the one leg stand. We go a little bit above and beyond to do the modified Romberg balance test, finger to nose, and then some other things like that. So for the tests for the walk and turn, he did have, I believe, 3 out of 8 discernible clues, which SST failure standards count 2 as a failure. For one leg stand, we do go a step beyond what they do roadside, and we have them perform it on both sides, where roadside they typically only have them perform it one side. For that, he had, for one test, 3 out of 4 failures. On the other side, it was 2 out of 4 failures. Modified Romberg balance, that's a test where essentially they have to stand, and then estimate for 30 seconds in their head. He estimated 30 seconds in 41 seconds, which is another indicator of cannabis impairment, where it talks about delayed perception time and things like that. When we went to clinical indicators, he had elevated pulses, elevated blood pressure, something called a rebound dilation, which I'll talk about, and then also horizontal gaze nystagmus. And then also going back to the breath test that Officer McFarland had taken earlier today, he did have an elevated breath alcohol content, which was under the level of intoxication, but still an elevated breath alcohol content there. And then just to talk about rebound dilation, which is something that is through the studies that led to the evaluation of the drug, the DRE program. Rebound dilation is kind of when, if you were to constrict the pupil down in direct light, if you kind of like thought of like a elastic band around the pupil, when it's in direct light, it kind of starts like to pulsate out. That's a direct indicator of cannabis usage. So based upon all those evaluation or all those indicators, that's what led to my my call for him being impaired by those substances.
And based on your training experience, is there a difference between impairment and legal intoxication?
Yes, intoxication I look at as essentially the per se standard, which is a set limit by the law. So in the state of Connecticut, it's 0.08. But as you see here, there's other signs of both like clinical or psychomotor signs of impairment, which even though he's under level of intoxication, could still cause for the body to have certain reactions to be impaired to different types of reactions or like actions on the road.
Okay, so based on your training experience then, even impairment coupled with possessing a firearm could present safety concerns and safety risks, even if it's not legal intoxication.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Do you have questions for this witness?
Yes, I have two questions. One is if you had thought I was impaired, why would you come to where I was being held and tell me that what you had said was I did a good job and the arresting officers were just being, quote, a-holes, and they can be difficult at times. This should help your case.
What I say to people at the time of the evaluation may not be the best in the moment, but it is a tactic that I sometimes use to talk with them to get them to go through with my evaluation. Since I've done your evaluation, I've come away from using those type of tactics. But yeah, unfortunately, at the time that we talked, that was a tactic that I used to get you to go through with the evaluation.
Okay. The second one is, as I was already willing to do that and more, why was I not able to take a drug test? I did ask, could there be a urine test? As I don't do drugs, I can't smoke weed. It even says in here, I had indicators of alcohol, CNS depressant, and cannabis. I do have heart palpitations, which I did mention, and high blood pressure at times. So that was the reason for that. I really was trying to prove that I wasn't under the influence of any substance. So I was just wondering why I was not able to do a drug test.
At the start, before I started the evaluation with you, I did pose the question of asking for consensual urine tests because you had already done the two breath samples, which is required per se, but you had declined to provide a urine sample at that time, which is why
I asked for the urine sample. You didn't ask me.
Well, I didn't know.
That's not a question.
Questions from the board? So, just to clarify in my head, he did not qualify as being intoxicated, but did qualify as being impaired, in your opinion?
Yes. So, he blew, for his breath test, it was a 0.037, which is below the 0.08 standard per se. But when you compare, in my professional evaluation, if you compare that with cannabis impairment, it would mimic if you were as a 0.08 or higher.
I just have a follow-up for the other officer.
Go ahead.
So, if you recall, was there a field test done on the alleged or suspected marijuana that was found in the car?
I performed the standard SFSTs on scene, which
I meant
on the marijuana.
The marijuana that was discovered in the car. Did you do a field test?
I believe a field test was conducted at the PD.
And do you recall the results of the field test?
Yes, it's positive for marijuana.
Thank
you. Any other questions?
Nothing further from the issuing authority. Thank you.
I just want, does that test differentiate CBD from tetrahydrocannabinol?
I just know that the NIC and NARC test that we use, any kind of components of marijuana that they find, they indicate on the color.
So it could be consistent with CBD?
I'm not sure.
That would be an important distinction from my perspective.
Dr. Perry, could you explain, for those of us who don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, there are multiple metabolites of cannabis. And I wanted to know whether the test that's used differentiates the illegal cannabis, tetrahydrocannabinol, from the other metabolites like CBD, which is not illegal, and which I believe the appellant said that's what he was using.
And you would use that?
And they cannot answer that question for me.
But you would use that for medicinal purposes?
Yes.
If I may, marijuana in small amounts is not illegal in Connecticut anyways anymore, just to be clear. It's more about the impairment component of it.
Right, but the impairment symptomatology that you presented has a, from a medical perspective, has a broad differential diagnosis. It's not specific to cannabis.
Sure.
Would you like to present your case then?
Yes, okay. I just have just pointers written down, if I can just read that. Okay, so I told the officers that I do not smoke weed. What was in the car was CBD. If you would look at the package, you can see it is a CBD container. So I mentioned that. I mentioned that I was not drinking. I wasn't driving. I was getting ready to go inside my house. I had the garage up. They held me up and said, no, you can't go inside. We need to investigate. And I was told I was being argumentative. I don't believe I was. Me and my lawyer sat down and watched the body cam footage, which we still believe I wasn't being argumentative. I was a little flustered. My heart was running, as I do have heart palpitations. I told them the car was not running and that I was getting ready to go to sleep. When they did the field sobriety test, I said, I'm tired, I'm not impaired, but I am a little overweight and have balance issues, which could be the reason for any of the mistakes I made, if any, during the field sobriety test. I was told that I was being loud and playing music. I let them know that the music was turned down. I was in my house, and the situation was that I had dropped my mom off right up the street to the bus stop and came back. So there might have been music playing as I was driving back home, but when I got back to the driveway, I did turn it down.
What time of day was this?
This was in the morning. I believe it was around 4. She has to get on the bus at around 4 in the morning to get to work. So I went up the street real quick, came back, and I had let them know this. I wasn't driving around or anything at the time. Where I had came back from earlier was dropping my mom off at the bus stop. So other than that, like I said, Officer Albright did the DRE and thought I was impaired by marijuana, drugs, and alcohol. I blew a 0.325, which is not even half the legal limit. I don't do any drugs. I don't smoke weed. I told them there's no way I could have been impaired by marijuana. I never smoked marijuana. It would have given me heart palpitations. I can't do any drugs. I can't smoke weed. I can't take edibles, any of that. As far as the drinking, as I told them, that was hours before. That was earlier in the day. This is now the next day. Um, What I have here is a rationale on why I don't agree with my permit being revoked and remaining revoked. As the case was nollied, I believe I deserve to have my permit reinstated. The arresting officers did not treat me fairly. They treated me like a criminal. The court could not meet burden of proof to find me guilty of the charges. And the prosecutor even advised my lawyer that he has no idea why I was arrested in the first place. And we do have body cam footage of the officers realizing in the back that they had misread my breathalyzer because I was told that I failed it when they came to my holding cell. And then later I had found out that I did pass the breathalyzer. I was well under the legal limit. And even when I was sitting down, I was asked what marks are on my arm. It would be a zit or anything like that. And I was asked why my nails are long. I just felt really judged and mistreated in the police department. I've never been in trouble. I haven't been in trouble before or after this incident. This was in January of 2023. I have had no incidences. I'm a model citizen. I have a good, clean license. I have a job. I work for insurance. I'm educated. I don't feel like I'm the type of person that should have to be going through this. And I would like to say, even a month or two after the arrest, police would drive by my house every other day. I've gotten police pulling into my driveway, knocking on my door. Even this officer came to my house asking if I wanted my my gun case back after it was taken, after a phone call where I said I would pick it up when I'm available. I've had cars parked right in front of my house at the curb, police cars. I just feel like it was harassment at that point. And it only stopped when my mom had made a complaint to the police chief in the town. And I feel like they were just profiling me. That night, I was sitting in my in my driveway. I wasn't drinking. The alcohol was to the side. Barely any of it was gone. I told them as far as any smoke smell, that was CBD, which can't impair me. There's no THC. There's no psychoactive component to it. And I just felt like I tried to explain myself the best I could in that situation. And I don't know. I don't think they were listening. Like I said, I watched the body cam footage of the arrest night. They said I was being lethargic, combative, and watching it back, I didn't see any of that. At the very beginning, I was a little flustered, maybe a little angry. As you know, I'm sitting at my house. I wasn't expecting that. Shortly after, I calmed down and I said, "Look, I gave them my license. I gave them my permit. I told them the situation, and I was cooperating, thinking that you know it would get better. But I was told to get out the car. They wanted to search the car. I just feel like they didn't do a good job de-escalating the situation and elevated it. When they came up to my car, there was no music playing. The car wasn't running. The key was in my pocket. I was just gathering all my belongings to go inside. And I just felt like when they said, we need to continue investigating, that should have been it right there. I told them, I don't know what needs to be investigated. I turned the music down. I just had it previously playing. I turned it down. I'm getting ready to go inside. So, I definitely was being cooperative. I looked back at the footage and I didn't see anything that shows other words.
Do Do you have questions for the appellant?
I do. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Do you agree that there was a partially consumed bottle of alcohol next to you in the car?
On the floor, there was about this much of the bottle gone.
Okay.
Which it's not illegal to have alcohol. I am over 21.
Just my question is, did you have it in the car? Okay. And you had consumed it, we're now into the morning, 4:30 in the morning, the day before that?
The day before, yes.
Okay.
It was 4 a.m. It was the previous day.
Okay. And do you agree that the music, you were playing the music loudly at some point in your neighborhood?
Very quickly. I was not sitting in the car for long playing music. It would have had to be just for a second someone heard it and complained.
And then called the police, though. You understand someone called the police?
If they did. Request records of that, and that was not provided to me or my mother or my lawyer.
Okay.
Any evidence of a call?
Did you inform the officer that there was a loaded firearm in your motor vehicle?
Yes, but not one in the chamber of either of the firearms, as they had mentioned.
So
I don't carry guns like that.
Before he saw the gun, you informed him it was there?
No, I had informed him that I had my permit.
Okay. You didn't inform him there was a loaded gun on the back seat of the car, though?
I actually didn't inform him anything. He had came to my window. He asked for my license. That's when I said, why? I'm sitting in my yard. Why do I need to provide license? I finally gave it to him. I said, you know, it's fine. Here you go. Here's my license. He ran it. And the reason why I didn't want to do that is because I knew they were going to give me a hard time, which they did. And he ran my license. He said, do you have a permit? I said, yes, I do. He said, do you have your guns? I said, yes.
Did you tell him that you typically keep them safely stored in
your
home?
I do typically, but that one was in my house, in my car.
And there was one in your trunk as well, correct?
Yes.
Also loaded?
From the range.
Also loaded, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that one was not secured in any kind of safe storage?
It was just in the case.
Okay. And you do understand there are laws governing safe storage of the guns?
That's what he was telling me, and as you guys said, I didn't have my permit for at least a year, which I apologize for that. I was under the impression that since I had my permit, I could have the gun in my car.
But did you take the class about to get your permit?
I did take the class.
Okay, and was part of that class teaching you that you need to safely store it when you have it?
I was under
possession?
The influence that I could have firearms in the car.
Okay.
If I have my permit.
Unsecured in your motor vehicle?
Yes.
Okay. And how long had that gun been in your trunk for?
I'm not sure. I did go to the range not too long
ago. Okay.
And that's the reason why it was there.
Okay. And you had purchased it from Hoffman's as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Let me just have one moment. I believe that's all my questions. Thank you.
Questions from the board?
Yeah. You said that you had been drinking earlier in the day?
This was hours, not the same day of the arrest.
Hours before the arrest?
Exactly. The arrest was early in the morning,
and
the drinking, which was very minimal at that, was way earlier in the previous day.
Okay. And where was the pistol when you were drinking?
I wasn't drinking in the car.
So, where were you drinking?
Oh, at a friend's house.
So, you were at a friend's house drinking,
mm-hmm.
and the loaded pistol sitting in the back seat of your car?
No. These are two separate situations. That was the previous day. The gun was not even on me at the time. The reason why the gun was there is because I had left to drop my mother off at the bus stop, and it wasn't a situation where I was drinking and then got in the car and then left. This was the previous day at a friend's house. I didn't have my gun on me. The gun was there afterwards in the car with
so
me.
You brought the gun into the car that day?
Of the arrest?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And why was it in the back seat loaded?
Because my mother was sitting in the passenger seat, and I wanted it in the car,
mm-hmm.
To be with me and for protection, but I didn't want it like in the passenger seat, so which I back then realized that I I will take the, you know, loss for that. That was my stupidity. But from that incident, I have learned a lot about how to store and, you know, just carry myself with the firearm. But I did move it from the passenger to the back seat because my mother had sat in the passenger. Just for me to drop her off.
And the counsel for the issuing authorities talked about the gun, the AR in the back seat, in the trunk of the car, yeah. In the case. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you realize now that that's not the right way to store a gun in the trunk of the car for weeks, months, whatever it is.
Well, it wasn't stored there continually for that long.
How long was it there?
It wasn't there for long. I had just went to the range about 2-3 days ago. As far as like the saying for months, mentioning months is just the ongoing.
Forget months, but it's out of your control, unlocked in the trunk of your car, sitting in your car, wherever your car happens to be, where you're driving around or doing whatever you're doing.
But the thing is, I don't drive around with a loaded, you know, rifle in the trunk. The rifle was there because
I mean, you had to have driven somewhere.
Right, to the range.
The only time you drove the car with the gun in the trunk was back and forth to the range?
Right, correct.
You went to the range that day?
No, this was the previous day. Because the thing is, that day was, it was a whole new day, the day of the arrest. The previous day, that's when I had went to the range. And I'm not sure what day that was. Let me see. That's why I said a day or two. All right, so it was on the 25th of the arrest. So that would have meant that on January 23rd, 2023, that's the day I had went with my cousin to the range at Hoffman.
Okay, but at least I got the impression that since you bought the gun, you kept it in the trunk of the car.
No.
That's the impression I got from
that. No.
That didn't happen.
No, I don't. That's not where I stored it, no.
Where did you store it?
In my room, in a closet, in a safe. I have a safe. I had kept it in my closet.
So your testimony now is that gun, since you bought it, was always in the safe, except for that one day when you...
No, not except for the one day, no. Except for when I would leave to go to the range, which I didn't carry it to go to the range often. I usually would use the pistol if I went to the range. Mm-hmm. But for those few times, yes, that's when I drove with it. But it wasn't a regular thing, and I didn't store it there either.
Okay. It's not the impression I got, but thank you
for
clearing that.
Yeah, no, I understand. And, you know, like I said, I was very nervous. If I made any verbal mistakes with them, it was solely just because, you know, my heart was racing. I was nervous. I was just, you know, trying to make it through the night. And, you know, I was very uncomfortable. But, that's not where I stored it at all.
Okay. I'll just one last question. I don't want to belabor this. Yes. Were there any times you left your car when there was a loaded rifle in the trunk?
No.
Never?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Can you repeat the question one more time, sorry?
Were there any times you left your loaded rifle in the trunk of your car unsecured, well, I shouldn't say unsecured, alone? Like, did you leave the car somewhere with the rifle in the trunk when you weren't in it?
Okay. It would have had to be that day, because like I said, I went to the range on the 23rd.
And that's the only time you've ever done that.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
And that was my mistake.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board?
It's a lot of discussion about a case that seems like it's a race. Is that what happened to your case in court? It was a race?
Yeah.
And you don't have to talk about it unless you want to, because it's your case. What did they do in court?
They just dismissed it.
Any program or anything like that?
I did one online class.
Yeah.
Just a one time. I had to watch a video. And then that was it.
And your case was just dismissed?
Right.
Okay.
There was, you know, continuances. It was throughout the year of 2023 court appearances, but...
Did the court mandate the classes?
My lawyer had said that the case would be dismissed, but for whatever reason, to just take that course. And that's for, I'm not sure what the reason for. I think it was because just to make it seem like, yeah, exactly.
It's been dismissed as a matter of law because 13 months have passed, just for clarity of the record.
For clarity, was the class or whatever you took mandated by the court?
So the record I have does not reflect whether it was mandated or not by the court.
Okay.
Prior to the NALI. But there were multiple court dates in between the NALI and the beginning of the case.
Okay. So everything else going on in this case, the gun in the car. Is it your testimony today that your handgun was placed in your car that morning when you took your mom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The rifle, just one more time for my understanding, mm-hmm. When was that put in your car?
That's what I was saying. The arrest was the 25th, and it was the 23rd of, January 23rd.
Yeah, so that rifle remained in your car unsecured for 2 days?
This is just what I'm remembering, because I know that week I had went to the range.
Yeah.
I know it was, that's why I was trying to answer his question.
To the best of your recollection.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm trying to give you guys an answer, but it was 2 years ago. I really can't remember the exact date. What I do know is that that's not where I store it. But I believe I went to the range on the 23rd, and the arrest date was on the 25th.
Thank you. You can answer this question. Were you charged with unsafe storage as part of this case?
No. Okay. The two charges were just operating a vehicle under the influence and possession of a firearm under the influence. Those were the two charges.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the board? Would you like to make a final statement?
My final statement is that, I don't agree that this happened, and I don't agree with the arrest and the charges being made. But I do appreciate how life works. I feel like everything happens for a reason, and maybe that needed to happen just for me to just smarten up even more than I already was, and just reflect on, how I move as a person and with the law. But I do still, my thoughts do remain that I did nothing illegal that night. As far as the charges, I wasn't impaired. I wasn't intoxicated. I don't do drugs. I don't partake in marijuana. I wasn't driving or operating the vehicle under the influence. I wasn't drinking. I even felt more comfortable cooperating, knowing that I'm over 21 and I have my pistol permit and I have no record. And I just trusted that everything would go smooth, that the situation, as they said, the further investigation would go smoothly, and I would just be able to go in and just go to sleep as I planned. Like I said, I don't agree with the charges. They were nollied and now dismissed. I just feel like I'm being made out to be a certain type of person that I am not. And I just feel like to still say that I'm unfit to have my permit back after, over 2 years of thought and reflection and just waiting for my appeal, I feel like it's just really unfair to say. Even the court had no evidence or anything on why I shouldn't have my permit. Like I said, the prosecutor had stated he doesn't know why I was arrested. And I feel like it was sort of a cover-up. As I said, my lawyer had obtained body cam footage of them saying, "Oh shit, you read the breathalyzer wrong." So I feel like from there, it took a turn from them thinking I was drunk to now making it out to seem like I was high, which I wasn't. I don't remember the exact terminology, but with the drug recognition, my lawyer had told me, he said something about my eyes being horizontal, which they were saying it has something to do with being drunk, but then they switched to saying it's high, and the eyes move a different way if you're drunk as opposed to if you're high. So I just felt like that wasn't matching up. The responses from my eyes that they were saying was going on, that didn't match up with what they were saying I was on, if it was drugs or alcohol. I told them it was neither. I didn't think they were gonna believe me anyway, but I was being truthful. I just felt like Officer O'Bright switched from me being drunk and just focusing on the alcohol, because that's what they found. It was a bottle of alcohol in the passenger. I feel like he switched from focusing on that to focusing on drug recognition. And that's simply because I passed the breathalyzer. I don't think I showed any signs of being intoxicated by any substance. I only showed signs of just discomfort and nervousness.
Thank you. Final statement?
Thank you. Yes, just briefly, the issuing authority takes issue with any suggestion that this was some kind of a setup. There's no dispute here that upon interacting with the appellant in this case, there was a partially consumed bottle of alcohol next to him. The officer testified that he smelt the odor of marijuana. At best, it was CBD. There were certainly burnt joints in the motor vehicle. And he had two unsecured firearms he did not inform the officer about in his motor vehicle, one of which at the time, he indicated to the officer, had been in there for months since he purchased it from Hoffman's. Now today, obviously, he has testified to something different, that maybe it was in there for a day unsecured. The fact of the matter is that he had two unsecured firearms in his motor vehicle, 4:30 in the morning. There's alcohol in the car that he had consumed earlier in the day. He did still blow evidence of alcohol, allegedly hours later. And again, I don't know if CBD smells the same as marijuana. The officer did testify he smelled the odor of marijuana, which obviously is a distinct smell, and there was evidence of something being smoked in that vehicle. Thank you.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation's for suitability. The basis of the revocation's incident occurred in January 25th of 2023. The Bloomfield Police Department were dispatched to a noise complaint about 04:30 hours. It was coming from a parked car. The police officer observed the appellant in the driver's seat. He observed alcohol and what he believed to be marijuana shavings. He also smelled the odor of burning marijuana. There was a loaded pistol on the back seat of the motor vehicle. Another loaded magazine in the door. The appellant was arrested for, under suspension of DWI, a drug recognition expert, testified that he believed he was under the influence. What was the other term? I'm sorry. Under the influence or impaired?
Impaired.
He was impaired by cannabis. During the search of the vehicles, there was also an AR-style rifle in the trunk of the car with a loaded magazine inserted in the rifle.
Comments by the board?
So I just make note that it looks like the, I don't know if it's a summary from the court, but it did state the state cannot meet its burden for the DWI charge. The appellant, his blood alcohol was a 0.036. And I think I'm pretty close to being correct on this, but as long as the operator, or as the pistol permit holder is there, as long as he is in the vehicle, that pistol is, you know, handy on the back seat of the vehicle. Maybe not the best choice, but there's nothing illegal there. And I'm pretty sure I'm also correct that as long as that firearm is in the trunk of the car, that is, under statute, legally secured. The magazine was inserted in it, and as a, I'm sure you probably remember, but at that time, and it was even in the JDC R18, that firearm was an other. It wasn't considered a rifle. It was an other. And there was a glitch in the law in 2013 that only a loaded rifle or shotgun is illegal to have in a vehicle. A loaded other was not covered under the 53 statute at that time. It has since been changed because it was a, hadn't been addressed by the legislature at that time. So it's, for law enforcement, as troubling as it was at the time, someone could have their other, it looks just like an AR-15 rifle, as long as it's considered an other with the collapse with the pistol brace, nothing law enforcement could do at that time. Just as some legal facts for determination.
Other comments from the board?
Well, my view of someone's suitability to have a pistol permit is judged by how they act when they're in possession of firearms. And to me, taking the testimony in the most favorable light to the appellant, as what he said today, I think the conduct is borderline. You know, a loaded gun sitting on the back seat of his car, when he's in front seat of the car, and a rifle sitting in the trunk of the car, at best for a day, possibly longer, but I'll take his testimony saying it was just for one day, to me, as I say, is right on the edge of being responsible conduct, and that's what I'm wrestling with.
Any other comments from the board?
I'll just make a comment. I'm still concerned about the issue that the appellant was in the driveway of his home versus being pulled over while driving the vehicle on the public roadway.
I think I'm going to consider that the case was dismissed or nollied, and thanks to the offerings, without the burden of proof of being under the influence, and meet the standard for the .08, and there's no evidence of marijuana, THC versus CBD, which may have not been considered, but we have it in the presentation today, so that'll inform my decision today.
Any other comments before the vote? From Lewis.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray?
Appellant.
Colonel Overturn.
I'm going to vote for the appellant.
Dr. Kelvin?
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti?
Reluctantly for the appellant.
I vote for issuing authority, but you have succeeded.
Thank you. I appreciate it.